So I want you to take a second and just think back to your high school physics class.
Oh, yeah, the classic stuff.
Right. You probably remember that classic story of Isaac Newton, sitting under the tree.
Yeah, the apple falls, hits him on the head.
Exactly. And boom, he discovers gravity. And I mean, since then, we've all been taught to imagine gravity as this invisible tether.
Right, like a fundamental pulling force.
Yeah, a force that reaches across empty space just to, drag objects toward one another. But today, I want you to throw that entire image completely out the window.
Just entirely scrap it.
Totally. Because what if that apple didn't fall because it was being pulled by the earth? What if instead the apple fell because the universe itself was like frantically trying to fix a glitch in its underlying
I
code?
mean, it sounds like science fiction when you phrase it that way.
It really does.
But we are actually looking at one of the most rigorous theoretical frameworks to emerge in recent physics. The deep dive today really centers on a profound shift in how we understand the basic fabric of reality. We are analyzing a direct connection between quantum information and thermodynamic pressure.
Which is a huge topic.
It is. And to do this, we're drawing from a synthesis of a few sources, mainly the RIO-ODE-CCT framework, which involves conditional collapse theory alongside the mechanics of quantum error correction.
And we also have theoretical physicist Eric Verlinde's work on emergent gravity in there, right?
Exactly. Verlinde's 2016 work is crucial here.
So we are making a massive claim right out of the gate for you today. We are exploring this wild hypothesis that gravity, the very thing keeping you anchored in your chair right now, is actually not a fundamental force of nature at all.
Not even a little bit.
Right. Instead, it's the thermodynamic pressure of an error correction system. It's literally what happens when quantum information goes missing.
Yeah, to put it bluntly, we're investigating the idea that gravity is just the universe trying to heal a wound in its own structure.
It's just wow. Okay, so to understand how the universe fixes a glitch, we first need to define what a glitch actually looks like, right? Like at the microscopic level.
Right. And that brings us to the foundation of this whole framework, which focuses entirely on lost information.
Okay.
So imagine a quantum many-body system. And, don't worry about the jargon here. Just picture a vast microscopic grid of fundamental building blocks.
Like qubits in a quantum computer.
Exactly like that. Now imagine this system is in what physicists call a pure state.
A pure state. Okay.
Yeah. And in a pure state, every single piece of information is perfectly accounted for. There is zero hidden or missing information. We say the total entropy of the system is exactly zero.
So it's like a perfectly complete ledger. Everything is in its right place and nothing is obscured.
Precisely. But here is where the thought experiment demands our attention. What happens if you remove, or in mathematical terms, trace out just one single element from that perfect grid?
Just one tiny piece.
Yeah. Let's call it element K. The mathematics dictate that the moment element K is removed, the entropy of the remaining system is no longer zero.
It changes.
It instantly spikes. You have basically introduced missing information into the universe.
See, I'm struggling a bit to picture why removing one tiny piece changes the nature of the entire grid. I mean, if I take a single piece out of a massive jigsaw puzzle, the rest of the puzzle doesn't suddenly change its state.
Right. The other pieces are still exactly what they were.
Exactly. So why is this different?
Well, that's true for a classical jigsaw puzzle. But quantum systems are bound by entanglement.
Ah, entanglement.
Yeah. The elements in this grid aren't just sitting next to each other independently. They are deeply inherently connected.
So they share information.
Yes. In quantum mechanics, the identity and information of the whole system are actually distributed across the connections between the parts. So when you remove element K, the missing information isn't just the data contained within K itself,
It's bigger than that.
much bigger. The void is equal to the entanglement entropy. That's the sum of all the broken connections that K shared with the rest of the system.
Oh, wow. So you haven't just removed a piece, you have completely ruptured a structural web. I think an analogy might help us anchor this. So imagine you have a massive, incredibly detailed encyclopedia,
Okay, I like this.
but it's heavily cross-referenced. Every page has footnotes pointing to dozens of other pages, and those pages point back.
Right.
That's our pure state, right? Our zero entropy.
Exactly.
Now imagine I reach in and tear out just one specific page. That's element K. I
Right.
haven't just removed the text on that single piece of paper. I have broken the intricate web of references on thousands of other pages throughout the entire book.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to look at it.
All those footnotes now point to a void. And that sudden lack of logical coherence creates a measurable tension, like a missing context, in the rest of the book.
The encyclopedia analogy is a great starting point, really. But to make it truly quantum, imagine if the ink itself was physically shared across the pages.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So tearing one page out doesn't just leave a footnote hanging. It actively unravels the text on the remaining pages.
That's insane.
It is. That unraveling, that physical tension of broken connections, that is the entanglement entropy. And the crucial question becomes, how does the surrounding universe react to being unraveled?
Because the universe doesn't just sit there with a broken encyclopedia, right? It has to react to that missing information.
It actively fights against it.
Uh-huh.
This leads us to the universe's error correction code.
Error correction. Like in computing.
Exactly like in computing. In computer science, engineers use quantum redundancy principles to protect data.
Right, because you don't want to lose your files.
Yeah. If a physical qubit in a quantum computer gets corrupted or goes missing, the system uses the surrounding redundantly encoded information to deduce what was lost.
And then it repairs the error.
Exactly. It repairs the error, preserving the overall logic. The framework we are analyzing suggests the universe operates on the exact same principle.
Wait, really? The actual universe?
Yes. The universe encodes logical information redundantly across physical space.
So you're saying the universe is constantly running like a background backup protocol?
That's exactly it. It is a continuous universal self-correction. When element K is removed and information is lost, the system initiates a protocol to correct the void.
Okay, that makes sense.
But here's the critical physics part. Fixing that code requires work. It demands an expenditure of energy.
Right. Nothing is free in physics.
Exactly. When the universe detects this missing information, it creates what is called an entropy gradient.
An entropy gradient.
You can visualize this as a steep slope where information needs to flow inward, just rushing into the void to restore the integrity of the code.
Okay, let me make sure the mechanics of this flow make sense to me. Is it similar to osmotic pressure?
Osmotic pressure? How so?
Well, like, if you have a membrane with pure water on one side and highly concentrated salt water on the other.
Oh, yes.
The pure water will forcefully push through the membrane to dilute the salt, right? It's this fundamental drive to balance the system. The universe abhors that imbalance, so the water physically rushes in to fix it.
That is an excellent way to visualize it. Just as osmotic pressure physically drives water across a membrane to balance a concentration gradient, the universe drives energy across space to balance an entropy gradient.
Wow.
Yeah. The framework formalizes this inward rush as a thermodynamic equation. Force equals temperature multiplied by the entropy gradient.
Okay, let's slow down and break that equation down. So the force, the push we're talking about, is what we feel as gravity.
Yes, that is the force.
Okay, and the entropy gradient is that steep slope of missing information we just discussed.
Correct.
But where does temperature come in? I mean, empty space isn't exactly boiling.
Well, it depends on how you move through it.
Wait, what do you mean?
The temperature in this equation refers to the Unruh temperature. This is this fascinating quantum effect where an accelerating observer actually perceives the empty vacuum of space not as cold and empty, but as a warm bath of particles.
Really? A warm bath of particles?
Yeah. It implies that the vacuum itself has a latent thermal energy. So when there is a void of information, an entropy gradient, the universe utilizes this background thermal energy to physically push information back into the hole.
Oh, my God.
And the force you measure from that osmotic-like pressure, that is gravity.
That is the moment everything flips for me. I mean, if I am sitting in my chair right now, the Earth isn't reaching up with an invisible tractor beam pulling me down.
No tractor beam.
Instead, the massive entanglement web of the Earth has created this enormous void of information relative to the space around it.
Yes.
And the universe is trying to heal that void, and the osmotic pressure of information rushing inward to fix the code is physically pushing me into my chair.
Hmm.
Gravity is an emergent flow.
You have grasped the paradigm shift perfectly. Gravity is not a fundamental tether. It is a thermodynamic byproduct.
That's so wild.
It really is. Think about it like a cup of coffee. The temperature of a cup of coffee is just the emergent macroscopic feeling of billions of microscopic atoms jiggling around, right?
Right.
Well, gravity is the emergent macroscopic feeling of information flowing to fix a disrupted quantum web.
Okay, but if that is true, then we have to rewrite our entire macroscopic map of the cosmos.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because if the apple falling is just a symptom of a background code correction algorithm, How does this perspective change our view of the fundamental forces? I mean, how do we even begin to prove that a massive claim like this matches reality?
Well, that is exactly the role of conditional collapse theory, or CCT.
Right, you mentioned CCT earlier.
Yeah. When physicists are faced with a radical new idea, the theory space of possible explanations is chaotic. There are too many variables. CCT provides a rigorous mathematical bridge.
Okay.
It forces us to ask a highly optimized sequence of mathematical questions to collapse the uncertainty.
Like narrowing down the options.
Precisely. We ask, does the math of quantum entanglement translate to an entropy gradient? Yes. Does that gradient produce a thermodynamic force? Yes.
So it builds step by step.
Exactly. By tracing this strict logical path, we move from abstract philosophy to concrete, testable predictions about the universe that standard classical physics simply cannot explain.
Okay, well, let's look at those predictions then. I think the most obvious place to start is the gravitational constant, what physicists call big G.
Ah, big G.
Yeah. In standard physics, big G is essentially just a dial on the universe's dashboard, right? It's a number we measure in a lab, and it dictates how strong gravity is, but nobody really knows why it is that specific number.
Exactly. In the classical model, there is no underlying reason for the value of G. It is treated as just an arbitrary rule of nature.
It just is what it is.
Right. But under the missing information framework, G is not arbitrary at all. It is mathematically determined by the actual processing speed of the universe.
Wait, processing speed, like the clock speed of a computer processor?
Very similar, actually. It is the code rate of the universe's quantum error correcting system.
Mm-hmm.
If gravity is the force of the universe restoring live information, then the strength of that force is directly limited by how fast the universe can process and repair those broken entanglement links.
So big G is simply the physical measurement of the universe's bandwidth limit.
That's exactly what it is.
That is mind-blowing. And I guess that brings a completely new meaning to gravitational waves, too.
It changes them entirely.
Because when massive objects like black holes collide, we detect these massive ripples in space-time. And the standard explanation is that they are physical waves stretching and squeezing the fabric of space. So what are they in this framework?
Well, if space-time is an emergent property generated by the entanglement of quantum information, then gravitational waves cannot be physical ripples in a fabric.
Because there is no fabric.
Right. Instead, they are fluctuations in the universe's system health checks.
Health checks.
Yeah. In quantum computing, a system constantly performs stabilizer measurements to check for errors. A gravitational wave is essentially a massive code deformation.
A code deformation.
It's a ripple in the error correction ledger itself, propagating outward as the universe desperately recalculates the tangled connections of those colliding black holes.
A ripple in the ledger. That is so cool. But we need to address the biggest elephant in the cosmological room here.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Dark matter.
Dark matter.
I mean, we have spent decades looking at galaxies and realizing they are spinning much too fast. The stars at the outer edges of galaxies should be flying off into space based on the amount of visible matter we can actually see.
Yes, the famous galactic rotation problem.
Right. So to make standard gravity work and keep those stars in orbit, physicists had to invent dark matter.
We hypothesized an invisible unknown ghost particle.
Yeah, that must make up the vast majority of the mass in the universe. It supposedly surrounds every galaxy in a massive halo, providing the extra gravitational pull needed to hold things together.
That's the standard model.
Yet, after decades of searching with incredibly sensitive underground detectors, we haven't found a single dark matter particle.
Not one. Because according to this theory, we are looking for a physical particle when we should be looking for a process.
Okay, so how exactly does the error correction theory explain dark matter without needing any new particles?
Well, we have to zoom out and look at the geometry of a galaxy. A galaxy is not just a collection of independent stars.
Right.
It is an incredibly vast, large-scale web of quantum entanglement. As this massive structure moves and rotates, there is a constant, immense volume of missing information and broken connections at the quantum level.
Oh, I see.
So the universe has to continuously exert error correction pressure to heal this galactic scale web.
So the sheer scale of the galaxy basically creates a backlog of errors.
Exactly. The dark matter we think we are observing is simply the residual quantum error correction pressure.
It's residual pressure.
It is the background hum of the universe's operating system working overtime to maintain the entanglement web of a billion stars.
Wow.
When we look through our telescopes, and measure the extra pull keeping those outer stars in orbit, we are measuring the thermodynamic pressure of this ongoing restoration flow.
We assumed it was invisible mass, but it is actually the ambient tension of the universe's code maintaining itself.
Perfectly said.
That is an incredibly elegant solution. I mean, we don't have to invent a magical new particle.
No ghost particles needed.
Right. The mathematics of the residual error correction pressure perfectly matches the rotation curves we observe. We've just been misinterpreting the thermodynamic sweat of the universe as a physical object.
Yeah, it strips away the unnecessary complexity and relies entirely on the mechanics of entanglement that we already know exist. Just apply to a macroscopic scale.
But, you know, a beautiful mathematical solution isn't enough.
No, it never is.
Science demands proof. If we are going to claim that the universe operates as a thermodynamic error-correcting code, we need a way to physically test it. We need a way to prove that gravity is truly emergent.
And this is where the ODE-CCT framework delivers its most radical, falsifiable prediction.
Okay, what is it?
It all hinges on the root cause of the pressure entanglement. The entire mechanism relies on the fact that removing an element leaves a void because that element was intricately woven into the rest of the system.
Right, because of the connections.
Therefore, if you have a system with absolutely zero entanglement, you should have absolutely zero gravity.
Zero gravity. Okay, let me visualize this for you, the listener. Say you are holding an apple. That apple is entangled with the massive quantum web of the Earth.
Uh-huh.
When you let go, the osmotic pressure of the universe trying to maintain that web pushes the apple to the floor.
Right.
But what if we could somehow create an object in a laboratory, like a pure product state, where its quantum elements are completely isolated with absolutely zero entanglement to the environment?
The framework predicts that if you hold that perfectly unentangled object and let it go, it would not fall.
It wouldn't fall at all.
There would be absolutely zero gravitational force exerted upon it. Because its elements share no cross-references with the Earth's web, displacing it does not break any structural links.
Because it's not connected to the web in the first place.
Exactly. The surrounding system doesn't miss the information. The entropy remains zero. If there is no entropy gradient, the universe exerts no thermodynamic pressure to fix it.
So no entanglement, no missing information, no gravity. It would just hover there, completely divorced from the Earth's influence.
Exactly. I mean, in standard classical physics, any object with mass must interact with the gravitational field without exception.
Right.
But this model predicts that gravity can be fundamentally bypassed at the quantum level. If we can execute this experiment in an advanced quantum simulator and measure a total absence of entropic force, we would definitively prove that gravity is not a fundamental field.
What an incredible journey this deep dive has been. I mean, we started with the classical everyday view of reality, you know, gravity as this invisible, inescapable tether pulling mass together across the void.
The apple falling from the tree.
Exactly. And now we are looking at an entirely new paradigm. We are seeing gravity as a flowing thermodynamic pressure. The output of a quantum error-correcting code trying desperately to restore the missing information of a ruptured universe.
It's a huge shift. And I think the most vital takeaway for you, the listener, is to understand that this goes far beyond abstract philosophy.
Yeah.
By defining gravity as the universe's mechanism for preserving information, we finally have a mathematically rigorous bridge between the macroscopic mechanics of planets and galaxies and the microscopic rules of quantum physics.
It bridges the gap.
It does. We stop searching for gravity as a baseline force and start recognizing it as the overarching operating system that governs reality.
It definitely makes you look at the world around you differently. Every time an object drops, it's just the universe doing routine maintenance.
Routine maintenance, yeah.
But I want to leave you with one final provocative thought to mull over today.
Oh, lay it on me.
Well, if gravity is just the universe trying furiously to patch up missing information, what does that mean when we look out into the cosmos and see a black hole?
Ah.
Right? Because a black hole is the ultimate destroyer of information. The gravity is so intense that nothing, not even light, escapes. So in this thermodynamic framework, is a black hole a permanent, unfixable error in the universe's code?
A permanent glitch.
Yeah. Is it the ultimate glitch that the error correction system just cannot heal?
Mm-hmm.
Or is a black hole actually a highly compressed zip file full of all that missing information, and the universe's operating system just hasn't figured out the password to open it yet?
That is a fascinating way to look at it.
Keep that in mind the next time you drop something. You aren't watching a pole, you're watching a patch.